Recording, and recording, and so good afternoon, Zita. This is Zita Shulayevsky, and it is the Shulayevska. I'm so sorry, with Stefan Sembrovich, and it's the 30th of May 2013. Recording for the Anglo-Polish Society. So, Zita, tell me how your life began.
Well, I was born in Berestechko. My father was ex-army, but then that's my father, and that's me and my mother. He was, because Poland was, that part was Galicia, he was had to serve in the Austrian army. And then when the Austria capitulated, the Polish soldiers who had to serve there joined General Haller, yes, Haller. And they came to Poland to help out the Polish army. And then during the Battle of Warsaw, he was fighting and he had a cross for gallantry because he was in sappers, I don't know what, sappers, and they had to build the bridge under the fire. And apparently, according to my father, who was very conscientious and very quiet, they managed to build that bridge, so he had a cross. Then,
what year was this?
1920, the Bolshevik War, when the Bolsheviks attacked Poland.
2021, yes.
Yeah. And then he became, well, not exactly a civilian, but he became, you know, in reserve. Mm. So he became a headmaster of the school in Berestechko, and also the mayor of Berestechko, because he was quite, you know, quite respected. And then, well, we were. My mother was teaching music. She was in the. She finished she finished a music school. She was teaching music, and then the war came, and obviously he was called to go to the front. So he went to the front, and we were left there in Berestechko. My mother, my two sisters, and myself, and in the night, on the 10th of February, 1940, in the middle of the night, it was 3 o'clock, they were stamping onto the windows, and the Russian soldiers came in, and there were a few of them. And they said, Sobirajshchya z wieszczami, that means collect your luggage, you've got 20 minutes to get, so I was six, not quite, but nearly. My mother got panicky because she thought, well, 20 minutes, the children are asleep. So she took the undercover and she started putting my two sisters in that. And then the sledges were waiting outside. Luckily,
because there was snow on the ground.
Oh, yes, it was February.
Deep winter.
It was very deep winter. Luckily, you see, beforehand, my grandmother was in Lviv. So when father went to the front, my mother decided that she'll take us to Lviv to my grandparents. And in the corridor, there were luggage. They were, you know, valises, luggage waiting, you know, for us to collect. And one of the soldiers said, what's that? And he said, davoy, davoy. And he threw the luggage onto the sledge with us, and he saved our life. I mean, really, because when we came to the railway station, some people were in their pyjamas, because I mean, 20 minutes, what can you do? So he saved our life because we had warm clothes, and my mother in Siberia used to go across this forest to exchange the clothes, because she used to like dressing up for food, like bread, spleśniały, what do you call?
Flour.
No, the bread, that was moldy bread.
Old bread, yes, stale bread.
I see stale bread now, I remember that. So she used to bring that, but at least we didn't starve. The rest, quite a lot of people starved because there was no food.
How long did it take you to get to Siberia?
About 2 weeks.
2 weeks on the
train.
We
were on the train.
And not first class accommodation either?
No. We were absolutely packed to the trucks. And there were quite a lot of people there.
How many in a truck?
Oh, quite a lot. I mean, huge amount. You know, they were just pushing us in. Like the Germans to the concentration camp.
Same thing. Yes.
2 weeks until we reached the border. The only thing was, there was no water. We were all thirsty. But you see, to speak about the Russians compared to the Germans, they were a little more humane, because when one of the women opened the window and said, "You Sukinsin, you sons of a bitch, my children want to have a drink, stop the train." They did stop the train. And we, you know, the Germans would have shot her straight away.
Yes.
They stopped the train, and we managed to get the snow to melt so we could. And then after about 2 weeks, we arrived in the camp. I will show you the. That was such a story, I know.
Yes, of course.
That was the accommodation we had. Yeah. Barracks.
Barracks. So
yes.
You were on bunks.
Yeah. Well, quite a lot of us.
A wooden hut.
Yeah.
One stove in the middle.
Yeah.
And how many people in a barracks?
Well, I don't remember. I was only six, but quite
yes,
a lot.
Quite a lot.
Quite a lot of people died, and when they could not be buried, they were just thrown out on the snow because you couldn't dig the grave. And that's why I like Polish priests, although I'm not all that religious. There was a man lying next to me and saying, "I want a priest, I want a priest, I want a priest." And the wife said, "Well, I'm going to get you the priest. Be quiet, because they'll shoot us." But he died without a priest, so, you know. Probably he wanted to have a confession. Now, what else? Well,
presumably, perhaps people died on the trains as well.
Oh, yes, they used to throw them out. You know.
It must have been very hard for the children.
Well,
especially.
As I say, I was only six. I wasn't very well. I remember I was thirsty. But why don't you know? You see, if you're six, you don't remember all the horrors. The only thing I remember, that woman shouting at them, saying, "Stop the train." And obviously, if they stopped the train and people were not quick enough to collect the snow, they were left behind. That's it. But this is life. When we came there, well, the point is, you see, there was they were not cruel. The Russian guards, they didn't beat us or anything like that. The only problem was that women had to work hard. This is Stasia's story. This is a very good book, actually.
Yes.
Stasia's story. They had to work on the cutting up
the timber.
The timber, yeah. And now that is the other one, Stasia's story. And they had to work because, according to the Russians, those who do not work do not eat. And that was that. That is, she's... But the bread, they gave us ration of bread. So the only thing I remember, I was always hungry. And in Poland, I was rather pampered by my parents. And they used to say, "Eat an egg in the morning." You know, I would say to the child, "Please eat an egg, Zita." So, and I, when I was there, I thought, why didn't I eat those eggs? If I've eaten those eggs, I wouldn't be hungry now. And then the Russians used to cut the cabbage. And in the middle of the cabbage is the
stalk.
Stalk, yes. And they used to throw it, and we were waiting for them. So now, whenever I pass a beggar, I always give them something because I was a beggar myself. So, you know, it's, and my children are the same. I remember Jan, Marek, his wife said, he never passes a beggar without giving him something. It must be in the genes. Mm-hmm. Well, that was that. So after that, they've sent us to Kazakhstan, to the cotton plantations, which yes. is down by the on the south.
So again by train.
Yes, they've sent us quite a lot of Poles. They wanted them there by train, and we stayed with the Tartars. It wasn't a big block. The Tartars family, mm-hmm. you can stay there, and it was Stalin's kolkhoz. It was a kolkhoz called Stalin's kolkhoz. And they were very nice, those Tartars. The women had to work on the cotton plantations, and we just ran around. The only thing I didn't like about it, you see, they've got little Tartars with the shorn heads.
Shaved heads, yes.
Yes, with a little thing at the back, and used to come to my window and say they're going to cut my throat. And I was so terrified. I was looking after my sisters. So now I always live on the top floor. I never live downstairs because, I don't want to see the face of a Tartar.
In case the Tartars come again.
Yes. Yeah, it is, something like that that lives with you all your mm-hmm. life. Then Stalin, and as Sikorsky went to, yes. The Germans attacked Russia, and Sikorsky went to Stalin and said, look, you have to relieve those Poles who were there because we are on the same side. So I remember that up to this day, I was only six, a man came on the mule and said, all the Poles can go back to Poland now because you've got amnesty. So how do you get to Poland? You're in Kazakhstan, you haven't got any money. So here we are. But anyway, we're free. And then after some time, about a week, a Polish soldier came to the kolkhoz and said, here in Yunkyul, there's a Polish army is being Yunkyul. Yunkyul. Polish army is being formed. All the Poles can go there, and then perhaps we'll get out of here. So my mother and all the women got themselves together and hired a cart, and we went to Yunkyul, which wasn't very far, just as well, because those who were far away, they couldn't come
hired
back.
Hired a cart?
Something you can drive on. And when we came, That's what we looked.
Yes. So half starved.
Well, yes, we were. And then when we came, it was a huge, huge field, and there were camps. That is a famous book about it, children of Isfahan. My mother was here, and I'm here as well. There was a huge field, and there were tents all over the place, huge field. And in the middle of that field was a man cooking something in the big, big thing. So everybody sort of came in, and he was cooking, lamb.
Yes, lamb.
A lamb, because they don't need anything else. And quite a lot of people ate too much, and they started having dysentery. Because if you don't eat anything for 2 weeks, two years, you starve yourself. But anyway, we came there, and actually they were very good. I'm most impressed by the Polish authorities. We came in there.
So this is Isfahan.
That's not Isfahan yet. That's still
Yunkyul.
Yunkyul. That's in Kazakhstan. It's near the sea. Not the Red Sea. What is that? Sea, between Persia and Russia.
The Black Sea.
Vrepskoye, my question. Krasnovodsk, Pakhlevi, Krasnovodsk. Krasnovodsk.
Yes.
We were, first of all, we were all, our clothes were burned because they were full of fleas. Our heads were shaved because they were full of fleas. And we were allocated to different section of this camp. It was General Anders who did it all. I mean, that man is a saint. The soldiers were in one place. The young Yunatsi were in the other place. The women were, and the little ones like us were in a separate place. And we were called Orlenta. And we were Orlenta, that means the little eagles. And we were all classed as soldiers because he wanted to get as many people out as possible. And he had agreement with the English.
Mm.
And if they said they were civilians, the English wouldn't hear of it. Can I just get you my certificate?
Of course. For a minute.
Here is my certificate.
Allied Expeditionary Force.
Yes.
DP index card. That means displaced persons index card.
And this is me, 7-8 years old.
Shana Ushita.
So I'm part of the
F012574062. Ushita.
So we were all given that, so we were going like soldiers.
Yes. Yes.
So that was what I was going to say. Well, we were there for some time. It was very dangerous because there were no toilets. Outside the camp, there were big holes when people used to go to relieve themselves. Mm. And it was rather dangerous because you can fall down and drown.
Mm-hmm.
So my sister wanted to go to the toilet. I wanted to go with her. But I thought, well, no. And the soldier was coming, so who are you? So I said, well, quiet. Tell us, I'll shoot. So I said, it's us. So it was very primitive condition. But anyway, we had food. We had the clothes. We didn't have any clothes. We just had shorts, and that's about it. The girls and the boys. And obviously, we had shaved head. And we used to sleep on the floor on the cotton mats, together, about six of us in a tent. And once my friend went over to the toilet, and she lost her way. She went to the boys' camp, a boys' tent. And in the morning they were started, oh, Baba Baraku, the woman in our thing. But anyway, it was an experience. They weren't cruel. I'm not saying we suffered. They were all kind to us. We had food. I mean, it was primitive condition.
So the children all lived together in a children's camp with the...
No, we had it was a huge place. So the tents were, yes, for children. The tents were for children, tents for children, for girls, tents for boys. then the Unats, then the women. So it was quite a lot of people there, and soldiers were separately. And then the time came when we could go away and go to Pahlevi on the ship, because we could go. So everybody got... Oh, yes, I remember. The English dropped us cream crackers.
Cream crackers?
Yes, we had it from the English. The English soldiers dropped us cream. I still remember cream crackers. And I think there was also a bit of a... soap, that old soap, bags of salt,
yes,
soap.
Yes.
That we don't have it now, but it was, and soap. And our leader, I mean, she was a soldier, she came here and said, look, we are going to Pahlevi now. We don't know whether the Persians have any soap, because we didn't have any soap in Russia, whether the Persians have any soap, so we can't leave it here. If everybody can take some soap bars to Persia, perhaps... So everyone of us had some soap to carry. And then we were evacuated. The ship was there. And I've never seen so many people on that ship in Ilisan, because everybody was trying to get us to that ship, because the Russians were parading and they could have stopped anybody going there. So everybody was trying to get on. But we managed to... So somehow cross the sea, it's not a big sea, to Pahlevi, to Persia. And I don't know if you've got a picture of that. We're all going down. And then, you see, the poles are quite nice. In Pahlevi, obviously, we didn't have any clothes. And there were boxes of clothes from America, from the Polonia.
Yes.
And they've sent those boxes of clothes. So we managed to get some clothes. And then we were taken to Tehran. In Tehran, there was a huge camp outside Tehran, yes. And then everybody, they started to divide everybody. Now the soldiers went to join the English to fight in the, you know, in the East, whatever. The Unats, the young boys were sent to a special school in Palestine, and the children, like orphans, half orphans. My mother went with us because she was a teacher. Went sent to Isfahan, which is in Persia, and we were traveling on the coach, and we came to the Polish government rented from the mansions from the Persians. It was like an enclosed compound. We came there, and I've never seen anything like it. We came in, and there were tables, and on the tables there was food, and the plates, and the fork, and the spoon. it's the first time we had something like that on the table.
The first proper meal for a long time.
Proper meal,
since I came pregnant.
And then after that, the woman who was in charge said, let's go to sleep. We went to a big hall. And there were beds with the sheets. we didn't sleep on anything, it was on the floor. So that was fantastic. They were looking after us very well. It was like a school. We even learned how to read and write, because there was a teacher who was invalid. And it was absolutely fantastic. There was plenty of fruit. Oranges, bananas, anything you wanted. They were looking after us very well.
And of course, you'd seen none of this for 2 years.
Oh no, no, that's why it was so fantastic.
Nothing in Siberia.
Oh no. And what I was going to say, and then after that, we, it has to be said that it wasn't the English, and it wasn't the Persians who helped us. It was the Polish soldiers fighting with the English.
Yes.
They have part of their salary was dedicated to keeping up the children and the families. Obviously, they didn't object because they were their children, their families. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't the English and it wasn't the Persians. It was the Polish soldiers who kept us alive and kept us, you know. So people don't know that. So here we are. And then after that, I don't know which year, there was a problem in Persia. The Russians were... Mossadegh, you remember, there was a problem. The Russians were trying to sort of get to Persia, and Polish government thought we will be in trouble. So they sent us to Lebanon. And we were in Lebanon. We used to live in the with the Lebanese people, and there was a school. And everything, it was okay. We didn't have any problems with the Lebanese. They were very nice. And then in 1948, we came to England. Now, after some people went back to Poland after the Yalta Agreement, because a friend of mine, friend of my mother's, she was taken to Siberia with her daughter. Well, her husband with 2 sons were skiing. So she said, I have to go home because I've got 2 children there. So quite a lot of people went to Poland. But I mean, we didn't have anybody. So my mother decided, oh yes, all the Poles who were, you know, fighting along the British could go anywhere they wanted, to America, Australia, New Zealand, or to England, and free of charge because they were allies. Mm. So that was very nice of them. But my mother said, we go to England because it's nearer to Poland, so we can always go back. But we didn't. But anyway, we came to England, to Liverpool, yes. And it was in February again. I think it was 10th of February or 2nd of February. I don't remember. Anyway, it was February. It was very, very cold. And we were sent to a resettlement camp. Those are the Nissen huts. That was in the school. Nissen huts in Liverpool. And it was so cold, we had to sleep in our coats. That was the school I went to.
Yes. So a shock after Lebanon Persia.
You can imagine. And, they were okay. I mean, the food was okay, you know. I mean, we were on rations there. Mm. I mean, England was on ration, 48. But, I mean, it was no problem. So we stayed there, and then when did I go to, and then that's because the Poles are always keen on education, the children who were small could go to the English schools, and then came a woman from the Minister of Education for Poles, and said those kids who want to carry on with their education, and I was there, 12, 13, anyway, can come and stay in the suburb, which was a boarding school.
Yes.
Boarding school for girls, and there was also Bottisham boarding school for boys. So we came...
Bottisham, you said?
Bottisham for boys and Stovel Park for girls. You know Świderska?
No.
She's part of the Anglo-Polish Society. Her husband was with me. He was there in that, in Vrevskoye, and he was also in Botysham.
Yes.
Anyway, that is the Nissenhards. Actually, they were okay in the summer, but in the winter they were very cold. But anyway, I came there, a friend of mine was there already, and she said, let's go downstairs to Professor Misiak, who's Matt's teacher. He's in charge of the bedding. So we went there. I said, can I have a bed and a mattress? He said, there's no bed and there's no mattresses tomorrow. So I said, what am I supposed to do? He said, I've got some blankets, you can sleep on the floor. Mm. So we took that, but my friend took me to her bed. So up at the end, we had the bed. The school was fantastic. Teachers were very, very good. The best teacher was Miss Wood. She was an English teacher.
Mm.
She spoke Polish, and she was really fantastic. She used to teach us English. First of all, we learned in Polish. And then our headmistress came, and he said, look, kids, we can't learn anything in Polish now because they're going to take our grant. You have to do everything in English. So I thought, oh my God. So our poor teachers had to prepare the lessons in English and give it to us. And we're supposed to be talking English on Mondays, Thursdays and Fridays. No, but nobody listened to that. You know what kids are like. So we said, whenever you could see the teacher, said, yes, yes, no, no. And we started talking in Polish. But we managed, quite a lot of us managed to get our GCE. And quite a number came here to the University of Bristol. They were dentists. But I thought to myself, I want to be a teacher. If I don't speak English properly, I mean, if they are dentists, you don't need English to the dentistry. So I thought, I went to, because my mother was in the Stober Hostel in Devon, I went to the headmaster in Newton Abbott Grammar School and asked if I could join the sixth form. This is my, I've got five subjects. So he said, yes, very nice man. So I went to Newton Abbott Grammar School to the sixth form, and I stayed there until I got my A-levels. They were absolutely fantastic. Mr. Porter was very good, very helpful. He was the headmaster. All the teachers were very helpful. And I have to say that because this is important. And when I was living in the camp, so I had sandwiches. Everybody had dinner, but I had sandwiches. I was eating my sandwiches because, you know, sixth formers were allowed to stay in the classroom. And Mr. Porter came in and said, what are you doing, Zita? I said, I'm revising and I'm eating my lunch. What have you got? I said, well, I've got horrible sandwiches, you know, streaky bacon. He said, do you like it? I said, no, not really. Do you want free dinner? I said, please. So I had free dinners.
Very good.
And since then, if ever my boys were complaining about their school dinners, I said, no way. School dinners are school dinners. And then I applied to the university to study history. And I was accepted. History Special, Bristol University. And then at the end, when I was going, Mr. Porter said, because all I had was my school uniform. That's all. They didn't have secondhand clothes in those days.
No.
So Mr. Porter said, you can't go to the university in that. You have to have some proper clothes. So I said, well, I haven't got any money. So at the end, I had £20 for courage and perseverance as you know, reward, you know.
A prize for courage and perseverance
for Zita.
Well, £20 would have taken you quite a long way in that.
Well, the point is, you see, I could buy some. And then he arranged that I could have a full grant from Devon.
Yes.
So when I came here, and I had a grant for my maintenance, £90 for 3 months. I've never seen anything like it in all my life. That was all Mr. Porter and this Bristol Grammar, Newton Abbot Grammar School. So I owe them a lot. Well, anyway, I was here in the university since I had my degree in 55, and my education certificate, I've got it in here somewhere. I'm forgetting my name soon. That is Stan Zita Szulejewska. Yeah. University of Bachelor of Arts and History. That's mine.
Compliments.
Well, the point, I like teaching. History specialist. Personal safety reading with aggressive students. Yes, I did special, after I had my education department diploma, I went to special school, it's difficult kids,
yes.
Behavioral.
Behavioral problems.
And when I was in Witherwood School, first of all, when I was teaching history, there were too many kids. And then when I had, you've got 30 kids to a classroom. But when I took that course, I was in Witherwood special needs department, and I had only 12. I know they were difficult. They were behavioral, but when you have 12, you can relate.
Yes.
And it was very nice. I mean, I knew the parents. It's a difficult situation if you have, because if they are in the big group, I remember I had a boy, Malin. Nobody wanted to sit by him because he smelled. I mean, he did really smell. The mother was... And I put some sums on the board. And I said, have a look. And he finished. I said, what's the matter? I said, I've finished. I said, are you sure? So he was very good at mathematics. But nobody knew. I mean, nobody bothered because, first of all, he smelled, and then he wasn't all that good at English. So, in the end, I spoke to the headmaster, and they decided that he can go to the main group and do the maths exam. And my boys, if ever they were stuck on their mats, I said, go and ask Malin. So they didn't bother now, ask his mat. The mother came later on, rang me, and he said he's got a very good job in forestry. So you see, if you relate to the kids in the small group, I used to teach in prison here, in Buckle Church.
Yes.
And again, it was okay. There were only 7 of them. And in the group, because they were dangerous, but I enjoyed that. So here we are. Now, what do you want to know? Oh, yes, so here we are.
So here we are, which brings us up to today. What about, well, you've taught history, of course, and yes, other subjects. What about Polish, young people in Poland and their history? How much do you think they understand? How much are they interested in the past, in recent past?
Well, apparently, you see, I have got my granddaughter I've got granddaughter who is half English, half Scottish, half Polish.
Yes.
Paulina. Well, she likes, Poland. I mean, she went to the Polish school. I mean, she's bilingual, of course. And she also does a lot of helping out with the English, with the, you know, little school, voluntary work.
Yes.
But whether they know what they do, because you see, Polish history, as I think they probably do more than the English, because I mean the English children don't want to know anything about their history. I was doing supply here, and I went to the school, and they don't do anything about Magna Carta or they only do about the last World War. And I said, why do you keep on? I mean, we're finished with that. Let's go back. Oh, he says, Zita, it's much easier because we have got all the films and all the thing, and it's much easier to convey. But the point is, it's not very good because, you see, they are, I'm not saying indoctrinated, but instead of going forward, they seem to be dwelling on the last World War. I mean, when I went to the supply, when I doing supply in the some schools, when I finished working, I did supply.
Yes.
So sometimes they sent me. So as soon as I came in, you see, I've got an accent. So they said, "Is she German? Is she German? Is she German?" No, she's not German. She's Polish. Were you with us or against us? So I said, we were with you all the way. That's okay. We'll behave. You see? And there was a German student on the exchange in Wedderwood. And stupid boy. I mean, if he had a little bit of sense, he wouldn't do that. He came in to do German lessons or whatever. And he said, German children do not speak out. They put their hands up. So they were laughing at him and say, "Heil Hitler! Heil Hitler! Heil Hitler!" Whenever they saw him on the corridor, they were saying "Heil." So he was, but those are children. I told him not to be so stupid. You can't compare. But you see, young teachers, they don't know how to relate sometimes. Oh yes, in my classroom, in Wedderwood. There was a boy, and he was smoking in the outside, and the teacher came along and put his hand on his to stop him smoking. Mm. So he just rushed out and hit that teacher. And they wanted to expel him. So I said, "No way, no way. Look, if you have got a horse, you don't go behind him, because he'll kick you." Now, these children have been subjected to all sorts of things. So obviously, the first thing is to hit back. So if he wanted to confront you, you should have come in the front, not behind your back. So they let him stay. You see, these children, I am surprised. Because I used to do home tuition as well in area, and I used to go to their home, and I'm surprised that they are much better than they could be in the circumstances. Melvin Square, Noel.
Yes.
I used to go there because their kids were expelled. So they could be much worse than they are in the situation they are in.
Considering the deprivation.
Oh, yes. No, it's not only deprivation. You've got a mother, you've got two boyfriends, they're coming along, hitting your kids. There was... See, I was not supposed to interfere because I was only a teacher. And there was a girl. She was expelled. I had her. I used to come along and teach her because they're allowed 1 hour a day. And I mean, the boyfriend, I'm sure he was sleeping with her. I mean, she was only 16 or 15. And then I saw her. She was pregnant. So what do you do? The situation is not, well, I suppose it's in every country, but you see, Bristol is the place I know.
Have you taught Polish children?
Oh, yes, in the Polish school, Saturday school.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
How do you find them? Is there a difference with them and English children?
Not really. I mean, no, not really. They're just, no, they managed to learn their Polish. I used to do examination. No, that's not well. The only thing, maybe a little bit, the family is more, the parents are more interested in the school progress.
Yes.
Because in Poland, education is important. According to the Polish tradition, you see, we had German and France, and you had a house, and the house can get bombed anytime, but if you've got something in your head, you won't lose it.
Mm.
So education in Poland is always very important.
Yes, that's been a key. That's a key part of the culture.
Yeah.
Zita, thank you very much indeed.
Was I talking too much?
Not at all. It's been a great pleasure.
Very kind.